As Aussies, we tend to think of ourselves as larrikins and rule breakers. It's part of our national identity. But if the last 12 months have taught us anything, it's that when we're told to stay inside and not go anywhere for the good of the country, we do what we're told. In fact, research shows that countries where people are more likely to follow the rules have done a lot better in containing COVID. Dr. Stephen White is a behavioural economist from QUT. Stephen, you did some research into how different countries responded to COVID restrictions. What sorts of things did you find?
We looked at behavioural traits, so what's commonly known as the Big Five personality test, and we looked at how personality traits at a macro level impact regulatory behaviour. At a population level, you can see, you know, higher levels of extroversion or agreeableness in different populations, and they're things, when you think about, you know, rules and rule following, are really critical.
Okay, so how did you carry out the research? How does one check this in a society?
So we had Google mobility data. Big Brother is always watching.
Uh-huh.
And then we laid that over at a macro level, the results for different populations or different domestic populations in relation to their personality traits.
Right. What did your research find out about Australia's main personality traits during COVID?
So Australians tend to be higher in extroversion, but also higher in agreeableness. Which, if you think about it, that's sort of interesting in that extroverts are people that you would associate with non-compliance.
Mm.
And agreeableness is probably the opposite. We were talking earlier about, you know, the Aussie stereotype or persona of the Aussie larrikin. And that's sort of that dichotomy of traits as well. You know, someone that makes fun of rules or, tall poppies and regulatory issues, and sort of has this laid-back attitude. So you think, you know, extroversion and agreeableness, finding that in the Australian population is sort of, you know, easy to understand why we sort of exhibit those traits.
If the lockdown had gone on longer, do you think that extroversion would have come to the front a bit more? Would our breaking point have shown?
Specifically in relation to any of the lockdowns, whether it's state or nationally, I mean, we didn't look at particular, this was research at when the first wave came in, March and April last year. Necessarily being extroverted doesn't mean that you break rules. It just means that you're more driven or more extroverted to engage. So you could think of people that are highly religious as being extroverted in relation to their religious beliefs as well.
Yeah, I guess I always think, because I'm an introvert.
Okay.
And I find
you're
it,
on radio.
I like to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
But I have control, you see. I have
yes.
a big stick.
Absolutely.
And I get to press the buttons.
Mm.
Whereas extroverts go into a party where they don't know anyone and have a good time, and that is my idea of hell.
That would, yeah, for most people, I would assume. I think it's interesting. I mean, what is the dichotomy of, you know, these personas that we genuflect to here in Australia? We have, you know, the Aussie digger, the lifesaver, this sort of larrikin. When I think about all of those people, all those ideals or ideologies, they all tend to be pretty pro-social characteristics or pro-social traits. You know, you've got the fiery, like I said, the surf lifesaver people being selfless, Simpson and his donkey, the digger. They all sort of tend to reflect that sort of, but also to that sort of larrikin knockabout anti-establishment.
Yeah.
And it's a funny, like our you know, the old joke is Australia, you know, what has less culture than cheese? Well, it's Australia. We don't really have a, I haven't heard that one. We don't really have a history. You know, First Nations Australians have the longest continuous culture on this planet, which is fantastic. But, going back to the Australia Day issues as well, what is our culture? How do we identify ourselves? I think, you know, 30 years ago, if you'd said, who's the Aussie larrikin? It'd be really easy. You'd point to people like Hoags, you know, this sort of Crocodile Dundee image. But I don't think we really associate ourselves with, not that we don't still like Hoags, but, you know, what is our cultural identity?
Yeah, I would say we would value mateship possibly above all else. And it feels like, and maybe it's intentional, a lot of the advertising coming from above about COVID is do this for your friends and family.
Yeah.
Do this to keep each other safe, and
yeah.
we respond to that.
Absolutely, yeah. The social marketers are having a field day at the moment. What is mateship? Well, mateship is, and, you know, I'm dyed-in-the-wool Aussie, but mateship's just a label for pro-social behaviour.
Right.
So if we think about, you know, what has been globally, the best defense against COVID is behavioral responses, behavioral economics, you know, nudging people, social distancing, all the epidemiological work has been incredible, and I'm not knocking that in any way, but really the combating of the success in combating COVID has been getting people to recognise how to change their behaviour.
My name's Kat Davidson. This is ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland. Dr. Stephen White is a behavioural economist from QUT. If we compare ourselves to other nations, which are the other countries that fit a similar behaviour profile to ours?
In relation to personality traits or just in relation to how we work with against COVID? I think, we fit with a lot of Western democracies. We're talking about, loose cultures or tight cultures in relation to compliance with regulatory behaviour. Western democracies tend to be a little bit looser. We sort of don't, not that we don't agree with the rules or we follow them, but it's not as culturally enforced as, say, some of the Asian countries.
So are we then similar to something like Canada, America?
Yeah, well, in the same way that, for GDP and education and income, we're similar for Canada and New Zealand. It's the same way in relation to, how loose or tight we are.
So our idea of ourselves as larrikin rule breakers perhaps is outdated then?
I think a lot of our ideals about who we are as Australians are outdated. The surge or the wave of support for Change the Date only a few weeks ago really tells us something, or from my perspective anyway. I see it at the university in discussions, you see it in the media. It's something that even 3 or 4 years ago, what is our social identity? It's a really interesting question.
How important is it understanding personality traits and behaviour in reducing the impact of COVID?
I think it's hugely helpful. Like I was talking to, behavioural science has really been the success story of helping with COVID. Understanding different populations. Not everyone behaves the same way. There's individual variants. So the study that we did in relation to personality, we looked at group effects, but I think the most interesting finding, or that your listeners might find interesting, is that in relation to women's risk behaviours, women are far less likely to take risks than men at a population level. Women are better drivers. They're better drivers.
They have
less accidents. They make less claims. They're less likely to engage in drug and alcohol issues. Across the board, women are less risk-seeking. So if you think about, what's a way that we can tailor a policy during a lockdown scenario, instead of, conforming to the 1950s gender norm of sending the men out to get the bread and milk, maybe the ladies should go out. If they're going to take less risks and engage, be more regulatory compliant, I think that's a more interesting way to use the behaviour and think about how that can help in relation to, regulatory responses.
You're not an advertising expert, but I'm sure you've been watching what's been happening. The messages we're getting from government and from corporations and all of those things.
Yeah.
Does it look to you as if they're very much aware of this and they're tapping into it?
I think that we're in a very dangerous stage with COVID, because now you have what's known as COVID's created a lot of new words. Had you ever heard of social distancing before?
No. Efficacy.
Yeah. I had heard of that a couple of times, but the new one is vaccine hesitancy. So vaccine hesitancy is a group of, and you'll see it in the advertising at the moment from the state and federal government, in relation to these people aren't anti-vaxxers. They're highly educated people that recognise that, vaccines for their children, whooping cough, mumps, all of those sorts of things are the things that you would regularly put your children through. But there's a group of people now that think or have some hesitancy about, should I or do I need to go and get vaccinated? And if we're trying to aim for this 90% plus or 85% plus herd immunity, it's really important to target these people who are on that sort of cusp of whether or not they're going to go and, a lot of the federal government ads at the moment are around vaccine hesitancy.
Is there any information regarding age, whether we become more compliant when we're older, or if are we more cantankerous? Is there?
I have a study at the moment with, one of my PhD students, Megan Godwin, looking at coping behaviour by women across COVID. And it explores basically, there are different coping strategies or mechanisms you can put in place, and some of them are good for you. Talking to people, engaging with support services. Others aren't so good for you, knocking off a couple of Shirazes at the end of the night, eating. Megan did some research and she showed that younger Australian women are far more likely to engage in any strategy, whether it's good or bad. But the older women, or the older women get in our cohort, the less likely they are to engage a strategy, which sort of says that, well, stress and coping, we must get better at it with age, because if we're not engaging any form of strategy, you know, so maybe it's a learned effect. And in particularly when you think about pandemic issues and health issues, older Australians are more likely to have had health issues. They're more likely to have been self-isolated in health settings or from their families. So it's an interesting finding. So, and also too, you know, where do we direct resources to help people? Well, if different age groups in the population have different impacts, well, you know, these are the economic decisions that policymakers have to make.
My name's Kat Davidson, Dr. Stephen White, behavioural economist from QUT. Thank you.
Thank you.